Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the future, what I've left behind. It once again, I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to SCAM, the radio show Stop Child Abuse Now, episode 2967. My name is Annie Margis, and I'm your co-host tonight, and it is my duty and pleasure to read the mission statement of NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. We have a single purpose at NASCA, to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, CSA. Presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. Two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And with that, I will turn it over to our host, John Anderson.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for being here tonight. We have a very, very special guest tonight. She is one of our family members, and this is, by the way, it's scan number 2967. Sheree White, let me tell you, she has an extensive story. She's from Covington, Tennessee, and she basically an anti-bullying advocate, okay, and author of three books. So I want to discuss that tonight, hopefully, about the three books, and who uses her own story of being bullied and gaslighted, I mean, to help those enduring the same abuse today. Okay, so in the sixth grade, she says that she began a long lesson in the human predator/prey dynamic in a battle for my dignity, safety, in my very soul. And I can relate with that big time. I mean, that's just awesome. At first, she took the physical beatings, okay, name-calling and abuse, and she was a victim of what I called polyvictimization, okay? In just 6 months, she went from being a kid who always made the honor roll, okay, to an angry and bitter girl who made only C's and D's. And that same thing happened to me. You know, I was right there. I mean, who can concentrate? On schoolwork. Who wants to concentrate on it? Why, you know, I mean, she asked. So she attempted suicide, okay, at the age of 14. Now, you know, I mean, because she felt powerless. And I began to bully those, she says, who were even weaker than me in attempts to grab back okay? Grab back some of my powers, all right? So we're going to talk a lot about this, and I know that, she also, you know, wants to talk about a lot of things since she's our special guest tonight. And she's from Covington, Tennessee. And I do want to invite everyone, you know, who wants to call into the show tonight, because let me tell you something, we're going to have a great show tonight. I got a co-host here also. It's Annie Margus, and I know I see some other people calling in to listen to the show tonight. So, look, on these episodes, we welcome various co-hosts, survivor professionals who will ask and field in questions and lead a variety of topics suggested by our call-in participants, okay? So, I mean, their trauma-informed perspectives as survivor professionals will help and guide discussions on the issues of child abuse, trauma, and healthy human sexuality that springs from questions and topics brought to us by our listeners. So I want to give out the call-in number to the show. And if you want to call in, you don't have to say anything. You can remain anonymous. You can just listen, or you can participate with any questions or comments. So the number is 646-595-2118. Okay, or visit the website at www.naasca.org, and the prompts are on the front. So without any further ado, I want to thank everybody that's here on the panel tonight for being here and listening. It's always great to see people call in. I do want to bring in Sheree White. Hello, Sheree.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, I'm very glad to be here.
Good. So I know the last time we talked, we basically, you know, we went over your story a little bit. So tonight,
yeah.
Do you want to tell, you know, the public a little bit about what you went through, maybe, so you can paint that picture of what you want to talk about with tonight, and kind of, you know, open up the book a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
There you go. I moved to a small town in Tennessee. When I was in grammar school, I had been an Army brat, so I had lived all over. And, you know, it was sixth grade, and that's when the bullying started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before the sixth grade, I wasn't bullied in all my other schools. You know, I was accepted. I got along with everybody, got along with the teachers. But
mm-hmm.
when I moved to this small town in Tennessee, I was bullied horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I didn't understand go ahead.
Let me ask you something. I want to stop you there just for a second, because before, you know, you moved there, okay, how was your life, you know, that you can remember before the age of six, where you were living in another place, right? And y'all were going to be moved.
I was in
memory?
The sixth grade.
Right.
I was in the sixth grade when I started being bullied. I wasn't six
okay.
years old. I was in the sixth grade.
I mean, that's what I mean, the sixth grade. But before that, you know, when you moved, before y'all moved there, how was your life before that?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I grew up in a good family, a good home, and you know, I went to good school. I got along
mm-hmm.
with people. You know, I was just
okay.
one of those kids that didn't give anybody any trouble, and
right.
so you know, my teachers liked me. The other kids liked me.
Mm-hmm. You were making good grades, you know.
Yes, I was on the honor roll.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was on the honor roll all the time. And I was very
okay.
creative. But when we moved to Tennessee, and you know, we moved there to stay, and I started going to schools in this small town, you know, that's when the trouble started. And you know, at that time, I couldn't understand why I was being bullied, because I didn't treat anybody badly. I was just me. Evidently, I don't know. I just don't know. But I've learned since then that, you know, it wasn't about me. It was about them. Because anybody that has to bully mm-hmm. somebody else has obviously got a mental problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there is so much involved with that, you know, it comes down to bullying. I've seen a lot of reports lately. In fact, I just looked up the other day about some of the percentages on what happens with kids that are being bullied, have been bullied. You know, a lot of them don't make it, period. I just get down to the bottom of it, you know, and it's
exactly.
sad. It really is. And not only that, let me just say this, and I don't want to bring up a war and I don't want to start anything, but you know, a lot of these shootings, okay, that are happening these days, you can't tell me that a lot of these people that are doing it haven't been bullied. What do you
right.
think about that?
Oh, I agree. A lot of bullied kids just snap and they go on a shooting rampage. Now, I'm not condoning that. I don't condone it. I don't, you know, naturally what they are doing is wrong. No matter if they were bullied or not, it's still wrong to take a human life. However, I think that you know, our leaders, if that's what you want to call them, really need to focus on mental health and not so much on guns, because a gun is just an object. It takes a person to pick that gun up and shoot somebody.
It
does. A mental health problem. It's a parenting problem. And I think we need to look out for these kids. We need to catch them before they shoot up their schools. If we see a problem with a child, if we see a child sitting alone at lunch, you know, reach out to them. If we see a child that is having problems, then we need to reach out to them and we need to get them some kind of help. You know, it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And we need to catch them before they do something terrible.
That's the whole point. That's exactly
the problem.
I'm glad you brought it up. Mm-hmm.
The problem is people wait too late. You know, they screw around and they wait until it's too late.
Yep.
And we need to, if we see something wrong with a child, if we see them acting funny, if we see them angry all the time, and if we see them bullied all the time, then we need to get that child some help. And we need to reach out to that child. Otherwise, it's a terrible shooting in the making.
You know, that's exactly it. And here's the other thing, too, is that if you know somebody that knows about, you know, a boy or a girl, you know, that has been through it before. In other words, if they've been bullied earlier, okay, say in, you know, any grade up until, you know, the fourth, fifth, maybe even the sixth, and then something happened, they moved, you know, they went to a different school, you know, and now they got a new start, right? However, you know, that can still be the key to know that they have been before. They have been bullied. And that's the signs. That's the awareness that we have to look for. And you really hitting that right on the head. We need to know about our children, you know, and that gets back
right
to the house, doesn't it? Doesn't that get back to the house?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because, I mean, you can always tell when your child is bullied. Now, granted, you know, my parents did as much as they could for me. And naturally, I turned out okay. I definitely didn't take a gun and shoot up my school. And I made it on the other side.
Yes, you did.
You know,
yes,
a better person. However, a lot of kids don't make it that far, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I find is school officials, when a target reports bullying, they want to blame the target. A kid can be bullied for, you know, 3 months, 5 months,
mm-hmm.
6 months, a year, 2 years. And before long, that kid snaps.
Right.
And he ends up beating the crap out of the bully that has been bullied him for
mm-hmm.
2 years. And, you know, when that target finally stands up for themselves, all of a sudden everybody's offended and horrified, and they want to blame the target and accuse him of being the bully, when all this time people have been bullying him and they've pushed him to the breaking point. You know, nobody can withstand that amount of pressure, you know,
mm-hmm.
for very long.
You think about the repercussions that happen from somebody being targeted like that every single day of their life, you know, over and over and over again, you know. So let me ask you this. What do you think would be, if you were a parent at home and, you know, you were interested in knowing about it or when, you know, what age do you think that, you know, the public should really realize that this could be happening to your child right now? You know, just you give me because of school, okay? Let's put it on the school.
At what age, you ask?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bullying can happen at any age. Bullying can happen at any age. You know, there's adult bullying. There's even senior bullying. So bullying can happen at any age. But
so at the youngest.
During school bullying?
Yep, at the
youngest.
Oh,
the youngest?
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's bullying that goes on in nursery schools. You know, 2 and 3 year olds.
So the parents need to be aware from, I mean, the earliest possible age. I'm talking 4, 3, right? 5, you know?
Yes.
All up in there. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And there are signs.
Where do you think these kids are getting this from? How does a kid start bullying?
Well, they see it in the home. They see their parents bully other people. They see maybe they have an older sibling that bullies other people. And most little kids that have older siblings, they look up to that older sibling and they want to be like that older sibling. So they always see it at home. It's either parents who bully other people or it is older siblings who bully their peers. And that little kid sees it, he admires it, and so he starts doing the same thing to peers his age. And bullying is like a cancer, it grows. They always see it at home. You know, people want to say that, you know, a lot of bullies are abused at home, and yeah, I mean, that's true with some bullies. Some bullies are abused at home by their parents. But other bullies watch their parents and watch their family members bully over other people. And when they see their parents and other adults in the home do it, or they see older siblings and older cousins bully other people, then they think that's okay. And so then they go to school and they bully their classmates. Or they single one or two classmates out and bully them because they think they're the weakest in the class and won't fight back.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I'm glad you brought that up. What do you think are some indications or some signs that, you know, someone would be vulnerable to getting bullied? How about that? I've never really thought about that end of it, you know? I mean, is it something that they do in nature? Is it their personality? Is it something that maybe a friend knows about them that is allowing them to say, hey, you know what? This guy, man, let's bully him, you know? And, I mean, what do you think about that?
Bullies are very meticulous when it comes to picking their targets.
Okay.
A bully is not just going to bully anyone. They're going to pick. They're very careful about picking their targets, and the targets they usually pick are the quiet kids, the kids that are genuinely good-hearted kids that don't believe in fighting.
They
pick the good kids. They pick
the quiet kids. Maybe even some physical, you know, aspects come into play with that. In other words, if you got a little guy that's, you know, he might be 11 years old, 10 years old, but he's a really good athlete, he's strong, but he's got this attitude problem, right? And then he goes and picks on this weaker, more vulnerable individual.
That too.
You know, because
that too,
he's weak
they bully.
In presence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of bullies, you know, some bullies bully because they are insecure and afraid. You know, bullies are cowards. But you also have the narcissistic type of bullies who really and truly think they are superior. They have a sense of entitlement, and they think they're better than everybody else. You have those arrogant type of bullies, and most of them are in the popular crowd. They're in the they're in the highest echelons of the school student hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So because these popular kids, they know they have social capital that shields them from accountability. If you're a popular kid and you're liked by everybody, including the teachers, you can go bully. You can bully anybody and get away with it because everybody likes you. And, well, you know, the people that quote unquote have in power like you. And so if you have connections with people in power, you know, if the teachers like you and you're bullying this kid, you know, and this kid goes and tattles on you, the teachers are least likely to believe that kid.
Yeah.
Social capital is a shield in and of itself, and it can be weaponized.
See, that puts that kid into a real bad situation, doesn't it? You know,
yes,
I mean,
it does.
Think about it. It's going to put them into a corner where, you know, they're scared to do the right thing,
exactly.
Basically, and because they're going to pay for it. They think they're going to pay for it until the day that they die, you know, and that's why we're here tonight, you know, to discuss this and get rid of that crap. I mean, let's get real with it. I mean, you know, enough is enough out here. And listen, a lot of these situations that are happening around our world today are a main cause, you know, due to bullying. There's no question about it. No question about it.
That's right.
And let me tell you something else, too, is that I've seen the opposite happen, okay? And it's rare. And I do want to commend those who have made it through it, like yourself, that deserve the credit of overcoming, you know, the bullying in life. I've seen a person be bullied, okay, and grew, okay? But let me tell you something. When they grew, they had to move, okay? They changed their life around. They just became a different person, and they wound up becoming big guys, you know, hey, you remember me kind of thing, you know, where the other
right.
ones were mature, so mature at the age of like 14, they had beards and they were big and tough. But let me tell you, you know, those other guys and girls, they grew up, okay? And now they're doing something about it. And whoever, you know, did what they did, you know, at some point, I know that also childhood sex abuse was involved with it, that you're going to pay, okay? Because we're coming after you now, and I can promise you that, okay? And we had enough.
Right.
We just had enough. There's no question about it. So I really want to thank you for being here tonight. You know, we got a lot to talk about. I want you to, you know, talk about everything you want to say tonight. We got plenty of time. I know that I also have a co-host here tonight, and it's Annie. Maybe I can bring
Hi.
Annie in for a second and see what she wants to say. Hi, Annie.
Hello,
Hi.
Annie.
Hi, Cherie.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing really well, thank you. And I wasn't bullied in school. I was bullied at home. My mother was a bully. And she bullied me, and she bullied my father. And from what I could see, she bullied the other children as well. And it really affected me for my whole life long. I've never been able to stand up for myself easily because I was beaten down by a bully. And I think she was a narcissist kind of bully that thought she was better than this, you know, better than being the mom. I think that's
right.
what she thought, you know. She's dead now. That's all I wanted to share. Thanks.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I can't imagine being bullied by a parent or a family member that you love. That has got to be the worst. Because at least when you're bullied at school, they're not your family members, and you don't have any loving ties to them. When it's a family member, it's especially bad because you love that person and you want that person to love you back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When it's somebody who is supposed to love and take care of you, I can only imagine that it is especially hard. And I am so sorry you went through that, Annie.
Amy shared her story one night on the show, and, you know, I would love to hear more of this from her because, you know, we need to know about everything, you know, not just school and
right.
not just
you know,
the house, you know.
Family bullying does exist. I've been reading up on that here lately, and I just cannot imagine how heartbreaking that is to be bullied by somebody who's supposed to love you.
Yeah.
Bullied and verbally abused, you know, and emotionally abused, all of that. Yeah. And I tell you, it crippled me for life. I only started to be able to function like an adult about 50, I'd say, after going through healing for a good 10 years. Then I started to be able to function more as an, you know, not be so afraid of everything and let people walk all over me all the time. I don't do that anymore, but it took me a long time to learn.
It usually does. It usually takes a long time because bullying can stunt your development. It really can. Because you're living in survival mode. You're having to live in this constant survival mode. And that's not only not good for your mental health, but it's not good for your physical health either. Because the cortisoids. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's
okay.
when you're living on adrenaline constantly, it can cause all sorts of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And when go ahead.
I was just going to say,
honey.
When I had to quit working from sickness, they did a measurement of my adrenal glands, and they said they were almost flat because I had used up all my adrenaline from being stressed for many years.
Oh, my
goodness. Wow. I'm so sorry, baby.
That almost sounds like, I'm no doctor by any means, but that almost sounds like Addison's disease. You don't have Addison's disease, do you?
No, never heard of it.
Because Addison's disease is where you're not able to produce, it's something to do with your adrenaline. It's an adrenal disease.
Huh.
But I'll definitely look that up because I had a friend die of it just recently.
Oh, my.
They can die from that? They can actually die from that?
Yeah. From Addison's disease? Oh, yes.
Oh.
Huh. Wow.
Wow. I would definitely look into it, just to see. Annie, I'm so sorry, baby. I can't imagine going through those, many years of that. And actually, the time span that it's taking you to get to where you are today, is another thing. Look at that. You said 10 years, it could go on forever,
Yeah.
Who knows? But at least I'm glad that at least tonight that you two are connecting on this, platform, because it means a lot. That's why the show's here, because we never know, who it's going to touch, when it's going to touch somebody, when they need to know about the advice. And, I will definitely, put this all over, the media, and stress on what it's about, because listen, we need to, keep up with this, and we need to be aware, of what's going on with our children. And I think that's what it's coming down to a lot of is that time span, when these kids were growing up, what happened in the household about who let it go on, whether or not they let it go on or they just didn't, really recognize what was going on because of the child may have been that good at hiding the fact that they were being bullied. What about that? Don't you think that there's a lot out there of the children that are good at hiding the fact that they're being bullied at the time, and suddenly they've just had enough and they snap?
Oh, absolutely. Because, when you're being bullied, a lot of shame comes with it. Targets are very hesitant to report bullying. And they even hesitate to even discuss it with their parents, because number one, the reason why targets are silent about the bullying they suffer is because, number one, they're afraid that if they open their mouth about it, that it's going to get back to the bullies that they squealed, and the bullies are going to want retribution for them reporting it. Number two, there's a certain degree of shame that comes with bullying, and you're afraid to admit that you're being bullied because a lot of people, even adults, are still under the misguided belief that anyone who's bullied is a weak person, and that's not the case. A lot of targets of bullying are genuine people. They don't try to be somebody they're not. They are themselves.
That's one thing. Exactly.
And they're just genuinely good people. And that's why bullies attack them.
And also, too, you know, about the parents. Say if a child does say something in a general way, maybe at dinner, maybe in a car ride, you know, that he was being picked on at school, you know, and kind of left it at that. Like, yeah, I just had a bad day. I just got picked on at school, you know. And then the conversation went on to something else, okay? You know,
mm-hmm.
Don't you think that today that word right there, that little 5 seconds was the screen for help?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, people today are more likely to reach out to the child. Parents are more likely to reach out to the child and try to go to the school and figure out what the problem is. Back when I was growing up, granted, I did have, you know, my dad go to the school and talk to the principal about it. But each time he did, the school staff and the kids would get even angrier at me for my dad's going up there and and giving the principal the what for, because he was allowing the kids to bully me so bad and not doing a doggone thing about it.
Right.
So, you know, anytime my dad went up there, or my grandmother or aunt went up there, or even my mother went up there and went to bat for me, I would always end up getting bullied worse out of retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even bullied by a few teachers.
I'm listening. Go ahead. I just see we have another caller called in to the panel. That's good. Keep talking. Yeah, I'm listening.
So, you know, a lot of times, you know, you'll get retaliated against if you open your mouth. And that's mm-hmm. another reason why targets are silent about the bullying they suffer.
Right.
And number three,
uh-huh.
they're afraid
Go
that
ahead.
Nobody's going to believe them. Because if the school's mm-hmm. not doing anything about it, and if the teachers and principals don't believe them, or worse, they're blaming them, then that's enough to shut anybody up, or almost anybody.
Because one of the things is that whenever a kid reaches a certain age where they are old enough to say, they can go to the playground by themselves, okay, or they can go, you know, around the community by themselves. Let's say like in the early teens, right, you know, 12, 13,
right.
They got a group or whatever. But if they were getting bullied back at school, right, and they were going to tell the teacher or someone that they were being bullied, that they knew that whenever they were going to be leaving, you know, that area, that they were risking getting beat up somewhere just to go have
right.
fun with friends, either going like to the skate
right.
place or going to wherever that the kids hang out, you know, that they were risking ratting. Let's just call it that, ratting on somebody, you know, and that they
right.
were going to get beat up physically over telling
well,
about, you know, them being abused, uh-huh.
Right. Well, honestly, if the target has friends outside of the school and they go to the park with the friends, with their friends, they're a lot safer than if they went to the park alone. When you're being bullied,
I agree. What a good point.
The best
point.
Thing to do is to make friends outside of the school, or you can align yourself with other kids who are also being bullied and form your own
yeah.
group, and that way you can have each other's back.
There
but
you go.
When you're
there
bullied,
you
being alone is dangerous, because bullying love to catch
mm-hmm.
people alone. They love to catch you by
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Right.
Here's another thing about bullies. You will never see a bully you will never see a bully by themselves. They always have to have their little wingmen backing them up. Most bullies bully in groups. They have an entourage.
And you know what? I know what you're talking about. And if you catch one of those little wingmen by themselves, you're talking about a whole different person, you know?
I mean,
if you back them down in a corner and get them on there on when they by themselves, let me tell you something. All they are is followers, okay? They're following the bully, right? Because they don't want to be bullied by this particular guy, so to speak, you know? And it's a shame because now, I mean, they are brainwashed. Is that what that is? I mean, it could be. You know, are they too scared?
Oh, you're talking about
themselves?
Exactly. You're talking about the bully's followers?
Yes.
Yeah, they're brainwashed. They're brainwashed into conforming to the group. And, you know, we all, every last one of us, it's human nature that we behave a little bit different in a group than we do by ourselves. You know, that's
Now you're almost looking at not only a group, but you almost be looking at a gang.
Right. It's called pack mentality.
Because
people will more than likely bully in a group than they would by themselves. Back to what I was saying about bullying, bullies always have to have an entourage around them. You will never see a bully alone because I guarantee you, if that bully is bullying you and he's good at what he does, you can bet that he has bullied people before you. There have been targets. They've been people that they have targeted before they started targeting you or before you came into the neighborhood. Bullies who are really good at bullying and going undetected, they have a long string of targets in their way that they have bullied. So if you can find those targets, and you can become friends with them and align with them, you're going to be a lot better off. Not to mention your self-esteem is going to soar.
That's a big point right there. Absolutely it is. No question about that. And listen, I want to have you know that we have another caller that's on the panel. It's Darlene Clark from Tennessee, actually.
Darlene.
Darlene come into the show?
Absolutely.
Hi, Darlene.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello,
Darlene. I started laughing when I heard your accent. I said, oh, my gosh, another me.
That's fun.
Howdy, neighbor.
It really is. Yeah.
Howdy.
Yeah. Where are those maters and taters at? I miss my maters and taters. You know, I live in Tennessee myself.
I made Frito pie. I'm sorry. So I'm up to date on Frito pie. That was good, you know.
That's awesome. How you doing tonight,
Dawn? I'm just concerned about something, but that's beside the point. It ain't got nothing to do with this at the moment. You know, just hit hard for a minute, but I'm okay.
Did you want to add to the show?
I really like the fact that you're talking about bullying. And the bad thing is nowadays you don't even have to be somewhere in public because there's so much with online bullying also that's even that much worse.
That's right.
The cyberbullying.
You're absolutely right.
Cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying or trolling.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, back when I was in school, you know, you could get away from it. You could get some kind of reprieve from bullying because my generation, we went through face-to-face bullying or street bullying. And when we were bullied in school, and then once that bell rang to go home, we didn't have to worry about being bullied again until the next day or the following Monday. But with cyberbullying today, there's no getting away from it. Bullies have access to their targets 24/7, and they get to bully them in front of a much wider audience. So cyberbullying is much worse than face-to-face bullying ever was.
Yes, and then it's pretty bad. You know, like, we didn't have the internet back when I was growing up. And,
right.
But I had married to get away from my bullies, which was my abusive family. And they would still bully and call me up and threaten me on the phone, you know, and it was so scary all the time.
I am so sorry to hear that. That has got to be the most heartbreaking when, you know, family members bully you, those who are supposed to love you and those that you love. That has, I can't even imagine. And I am so sorry you went through that, Darlene.
Yeah, but it is what it is, but it made me strong like I am today, and now I speak out against that as well.
That is awesome. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you.
Well, thank you. I'm proud
of
you.
So really,
as well.
You won. You know, you're a winner.
I try to be.
Well,
yes,
it makes me happy that...
Staying away from these toxic people, I even had to move out of state so that I would not be threatened, because they would go to work, they'd find me wherever I lived, and they would start banging on the windows and the doors and everything just to harass me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it still kept
going
up until a couple of years ago, you know, so... And I'm 59 now, and it was just a couple years ago when what happened.
I am so sorry. Has this been going on all of your life?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever talked to them and tried to figure out why they bully you?
Yeah, I know why they bullied me, because I'm coming out telling the secrets about what they done to me, about the violent abuse and the rape and the sexual, all the stuff. And they wanted me to
gotcha.
Remain silent. I refused to remain silent.
Gotcha. I am so sorry
they
put you through all of that.
Yeah, she is a survivor of childhood sex abuse. Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
oh, she's not only a survivor, she's an overcomer.
She's a warrior.
You know, and my stepmom, she used to work for the phone company. So anytime I would make my phone private, you know, and have it a private unlisted number, they would still give it to her since she worked for the phone company.
Oh, my goodness.
There was no safety.
Right. So where did you grow up, and where did you move to?
Well, cell phones, I got safer, okay?
So you had to move out of state to get away from them.
Exactly.
Oh, bless your heart. I feel so terrible for you.
That's okay, because,
you know,
the thing about it is I'm not going to bow down to them. I'm stronger than that, and the best thing is me to just help other survivors, because it happens to too many people.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and, you know, that is the most healing thing you can do, is to take your pain, turn it into power, and use it to help others that have been through or are now going through what you went through.
Exactly.
You want to be the person that you needed when you were going through so much. And,
yes.
You know, I have found that reaching out to others and helping them, helping other people that have went through what I went through or who are going through it now, that has healed me more than anything, and writing about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've written a book, too, by the way. So, yeah, it's
oh,
right about it.
You're a published
it, you know.
Author.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the name?
Huh?
I would like to order your book, Darlene. What is the name of your book?
You'll have to go to Amazon.com, and you'll have to look up Darlene J. Clark, Scattered Innocence.
Okay, Darlene J. Clark. Writing this down.
Okay. Shattered
because
Innocence.
Because I like. Okay, what was that? Shattered Innocence?
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Shattered Innocence. Okay.
And it's pretty bad when you go like this. And like one time I was bullied by somebody that came and stayed from Florida back when I was a teenager. And back from a date. And he told me that, and he had a dog that, what are them kind of dogs, them kind of like, oh, man, Doberman Pinscher. And
the
you
Doberman,
say attack
yeah.
to that dog, and he'll get a grip of you, and he will not turn loose till he told him to. So he would tear into you. And so he showed me that, and so he told me to get my pants. Go change my clothes, and then I had to go out in the backyard, and my stepmom watched, and she was raping me out in her bedroom window.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my goodness!
They threatened
so,
you
yeah.
with a Doberman Pinscher.
Yes. And that's bad when they use an animal that way, you know, because animals are so.
Oh. The trauma you know? that caused. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's. I'm sorry, Darlene. I'm really am. I never heard that story about you. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I am
my life
so
was
sorry
a day. It was scary, but you know, I survived it, and that's why I got married to get away from it too.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I can tell y'all that
we understand.
Y'all are from Tennessee. And basically, I moved to Tennessee because of my abuse, okay? I did.
So
I basically
you're
ran.
In Tennessee too?
No, I'm in New Orleans now. I'm in New Orleans now, okay? That's where I grew
okay.
up at. But I moved to Tennessee because of my sexual abuse that happened to me here, okay? I live close to where my abuse happened to me as a boy. I was 9, okay? And, you know, I lost all my friends. All my friends just wiped out because I took my abuser, the guy that raped me in school, okay, I took him to court. My family did when I was 9 years old, okay? So I lost – when that happened, you know, I lost all my friends. Every one of them just walked away from me because we were taking – somebody from the archdiocese to court, you know, and then of course the whole community knew. So as I was growing up, you know, I wound up going to 5 different schools just to get away from that. You know, everybody knew what happened to me by now, and I was just dumbfounded. I had nothing here. So when I reached 17, when I was graduating high school, I moved to Tennessee, basically. You know, and I lived there for almost 15 years. And basically that's what I did. I ran from my bully. And that's what I was being basically bullied back then. I was being shut out. I was isolated. I was very depressed. Good student. You know, I was never a bad student. It's just the fact that I couldn't be in the school because all of my friends didn't want to have anything to do with me now. You know? You know
right.
that whenever you meet your best friends in your life that last a lifetime, usually it's those that age between 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, you know, even younger than that, and y'all grow up together. That's a life,
right.
that lifespan friendship, you know, that you grow up together and all of you go to school. You know, no, I lost it all, and I had to move. You know, so I did. I moved to Tennessee. I lived up in the northeastern side, up in the Tri-City area, a town called Kingsport, Tennessee.
Oh, no.
That's by Johnson City in Bristol.
Wow. I've got friends that live in Kingsport.
Yeah, that's,
so you
that's
know
where
the
I live
case
in Kingsport.
About the Summer Wells case, that's up there in Kingsport, Rogersville, Tennessee area.
Rogersville is right by that. It's a little bit south of the Tri-Cities. Yep. I'm very familiar with Rogersville.
Yeah, I've got some family friends that live up there in Kingsport.
Really? That's unbelievable. Yeah, I know that town so well. I lived there for 15 years. Yeah. And it was because of my abuse,
my daddy my daddy served in the Army with Randall Weston.
I don't know that last name, but I do know a lot of people up there. And there are a lot of Army people up there, let me tell you. Very heavily thicked with guys that have been service people, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. In fact, there's Holston Defense that's there. Eastman Chemical Company is right there. You know, you're talking about people that manufacture our weapons live in that area. Absolutely. Definitely familiar with it.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard about the Eastman Corp. And I initially ran away, like after my divorce, well, when I filed for divorce, because he was abusive too, and the police said he could beat me all he liked too, and they weren't going to protect me, and the church said it's best to let him kill me, it's my only way to heaven. And oh man, I went further away. I went from Alabama all the way to New York State.
Oh my goodness.
I ran all the way to upstate New York.
Wow.
I don't know if God knew that or not.
Oh my goodness.
No,
and Christians were actually telling you to let your husband kill you.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
And they still treat me like I'm lower than life. And it's a shame they still treat me like I'm lower than life around this area, you know.
Well,
so they know that I'm divorced, and they judge me for me being divorced and getting away from an abusive husband.
Realize that they're not real Christians.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. And they're not real people.
They are not real Christians. Exactly. Because a true Christian would reach out to you. A true Christian would reach out. They would not judge you, and they would not shove you away. That's not Christ-like behavior. And basically, these people that treated you like and still do, they go to church just for show.
Right.
They're trying to be people that they aren't. So, you know, that shows what kind of people they are.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It says nothing about you.
Can I ask both of y'all? Can I ask both of y'all a question? Because, you know, y'all have both been through this. And I'm seeing something that, you know, I wanted to ask both of y'all. Maybe y'all could both input on this. Is that how fast did your life change when you started getting bullied to disaster?
In a matter of months for me.
When you started doing what?
Real fast, huh? Real fast, huh?
Yes.
Well,
for me, it was a matter of months.
Well, my whole life was a disaster, you know.
Well, you know, think about the question, though, Darlene, is that from the time that you can remember getting bullied, how fast did your life change from there?
Well,
my whole life was
bullied, though, is what I'm saying. You know, I had no rights as an individual, as a person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't think on your own. Children were to be seen and not heard and all that. You know, you had to do whatever they say regardless. There was no telling them back no, you know, a parent or nothing. You had to do exactly what they said right then and there, you know.
Basically, you've been bullied as far back as you can remember.
From birth, yes.
Wow. So really, that's not a question you can answer.
I know. She didn't have any leeway, no window, no anything, you know, to come into to realize that was wrong, basically, from the time she was born.
Right.
That's
but nothing would protect you. police would know about it, but nobody would protect you. You know, they knew your daddy shot in the window trying to shoot you when you're 2 years old, but they didn't do nothing, you know. So what do you do?
That's right. Yeah, unfortunately. Can I ask you something, Darlene?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't have to answer this, but how old are you?
I'm 59 now.
59. I'm 51. And so your first memories were back in the 60s. And back in
right.
the 60s, a lot of abuse and sexual abuse, police considered a family matter then. So they really didn't, police didn't really get involved back then.
Yeah,
you were
they
a victim
did.
Of the times.
But it wasn't just a matter of victim of the times, but when they start sex trafficking you and then the other people bullying you because, you know, outside the family because you're being sold. Sorry, I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't go there, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No. That is perfectly okay. So basically you're saying your family sold you?
Yes.
Into prostitution?
No, not into prostitution.
Oh, my gosh.
But child pornography. They sold me. They let men do whatever, but I wouldn't call myself a prostitute. I would say child rape.
Right. Well, pardon me. I should have. I didn't mean it like that.
But you know what I mean, you know. I'm not going to give them the glory of accepting any of that responsibility.
Right. Now, I apologize. That didn't come out right. But basically, you were an innocent child, so you had nothing to do with that. I understand completely. That's on them because they were the adult. And they will be the ones who are held responsible for that on the day of judgment. I promise you.
Yes.
Well, we
I
need
know
to
that.
Talk about that. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to talk about it so, you know, we can get it out. And that's just a wonderful point. I know, Darlene, we're so sorry, but, you know, this happens in real life. And this is what we have to discuss on this show, real life experiences, and no matter what it takes, because the education, the awareness that comes out of this is the key. It's the key to the future. Without setting the stage, gussing everything that we've gone through, you know, we're not going to get anywhere, ever, you know. So, you know, we're going to get through this together. Go ahead.
One thing I like that Tennessee has now implemented through a lot of their schools now is the fact about being trauma-informed.
Mm-hmm.
So they see these kids with these symptoms and stuff like this or these behaviors, they send somebody over there right then and there and try to handle it at the school, which is good.
Well, you know, there's actually people out there, and let me tell you what they are. They're called TIFs, okay? They're trauma-informed facilitators, okay? And they are people out there that actually specialize in that area. So, you know, if anybody's listening to the show, that trauma is everything related to this, and that they have to have someone that specializes in a specific area, you know, to help people out. And they are. They're trauma-informed facilitators. So you can look it up.
That needed to change, too. That did need to change because back when I was going to school back in the late 70s, the principal called me to his office and had me sitting there for a week. You know, an hour, you know, 5 days, you know, an hour each day for 5 days, okay? And then in 2002 or 2005, I said, how come you had me in your office? And I never knew, understood. I thought I did something wrong, right?
Right.
So whenever I called him and asked him why he sent me to had me in the office, he said, I knew you were being abused at home. We just needed you to talk. I said, but you know what happens if I would have talked? I would have had to go back home, face the repercussions of telling again, and not sure whether I would be alive or around to tell it.
Right. That's understandable.
But because I did not speak up. I said, yeah, but if I would have told, I would have had, he said, no, we already had you a place. But then it's like, if they already knew and all that proof, they could not still get me no safety just because I didn't speak about it.
Right.
There should have been something more that could have been done for people that already learned that you cannot speak about it. It's too dangerous.
Absolutely.
And had I told him, I said, had I known that y'all had me a place, I would have told, I would have got my butt in gear and left.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about somebody through NASCA, now that we're talking about this, that does that. And one name comes to mind. It's Dr. Jamie Romo, okay? While it's on the show, I might as well put it out there that he specializes in this TIF, you know, so he's a trauma-informed facilitator. And you know, when it comes down to bullying, is that somebody needs to be there to handle situations of all kinds when it comes to bullying. Because we've already discussed, what, bullying in the house, okay, bullying in the family, bullying, you know, at school. What happens when, you know, they all bullied and, you know, hopefully the times have changed, you know, and that's another thing we've been talking about. And I know a lot of your books, you know, talk about all of this. So do you want to discuss about a little bit about, you know, some of the books that you have and you know, talk about them?
Let me mention one thing right quick, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Make sure to don't forget to leave out the bullying that the police force himself would do against victims.
Okay. And, you know, we talked about that, too. We talked about bullying as adults, bullying as, you know, law enforcement's there, too. You know, there's all kinds of bullying. Absolutely.
Yeah, because they told me that my husband could beat me all he liked as long as he didn't kill me. And then when he threatened to kill me, then they said, we can't do that until he actually did it, you know. And I'm like, I'm not sticking around. I went to New York.
Right. Yeah, I don't blame you. And it's a good thing you got out of that when you did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd like to hear more about your books.
Absolutely. I have published four. My first book is my memoir on how I was bullied in school, and it's called From Victim to Victor, A Survivor's True Story of Her Experiences with School Bullying. And it's available on Amazon. Then I have three fictions, all with bullying in them. One is Townies, Cronies, and Hayseeds. One woman's struggle with the underbelly of small town politics, and it's about a woman
Shannon McGregor.
Who was Shannon McGregor is the protagonist, and she was bullied in school, and then she moved away, made a life for herself, moved off to Arizona. Well, her grandmother in Tennessee dies. She comes back to this town. Just to fix up her property and get it sold because her grandmother left her the property. And when she comes back to the town she was bullied in, she finds that most of her school bullies have gone on to powerful positions in the town. One is a sheriff, another one is a mayor. And they basically use politics to try to bully her again.
Right.
Okay.
And she barely escapes the town with her life and the lives of her kids. The third book is The Vow of Chastity Baker. And this is about a girl who is being bullied because she was a junkie and a prostitute in her past. And no matter what she does, she can't seem to get away from her past. And then the last book I published is called From is called Kids Under the Latchkey. And this is about a group of neighborhood kids who take a 21-year-old mentally handicapped man under their wing and protect him because people in the town are bullying him because he's mentally disabled.
Right. Wow, I love that.
And thank you so much.
I love that book. I've got a nephew that's got Down syndrome. Yeah, so I love that aspect of you doing that.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally great.
And I am so... But anyway, something really terrible happens toward the end of the book, and that's the climax. But
mm-hmm.
Grace, one of the kids that protect Randy, the mentally handicapped guy, it really traumatizes her and causes her to question everything she's been taught, to question one thing that she's been taught, that humans are born inherently good, and it also causes her to question God.
Right. I can see that.
So anyway, they're all available on Amazon.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I feel like if I can bring awareness to bullying and abuse through my writings, then it's going to help
right.
a lot of people, and that's what I want.
And I think that's right. always going to be the best way to do it, too, you know. If you actually look up, you know, signs of bullying, I think that between the two of you, that you're going to cover about everything that is there to, you know about the stories, how it happened, you know, the way that it happened, what happened after,
right.
Where y'all at now, you know. This is what, you know, we need to really concentrate on, is helping the children get through this, you know, and also the awareness. Because if you look up signs of bullying, you're going to get stuff like bullying at work, bullying in, like, nursing and adolescence, okay, bullying adults, bullying at school,
right.
signs of bullying trauma, okay, bullying in the classroom, like I said, and bullying at work by your boss, okay? So
right.
there's so many levels of it. It's unbelievable, you know, but the only way that we can get the word out there is by having a show like this and having you on tonight is everything, you know, that we could do. I mean, it's just so great that you're here. I really appreciate you being here tonight. And I hope that we can, you know, get the word out about your books, that the public, you know, can look up who you are and where to, you know, find you, about, you know, getting all that out. And it's about you, really, your own story, isn't it? I mean, this is what it all comes down to, is about your own story, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, I think we need to... Go ahead.
I have heard that Shannon McGregor before at Amazon, and I didn't really realize, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she's
well,
my
you know,
character.
Yeah. It's about the author, you know, and the same with you, Darlene, is that, you know, we can all learn from both of y'all's books. I mean, that's what NASCA is about. You know, we want to provide that platform for y'all and, you know, to make sure that the public understands where this is coming from, because every one of us that are here have a story to tell. And without the education and the awareness and knowing these stories and how it happened, it's, you know, it's going to be nothing when it comes down to prevention. And this is what it's all about, is preventing it happening, knowing about the signs early, you know, looking for those indications about if someone's in trouble, and they may even just squeak a little bit about it, it's actually major, but they just too scared to really say, hey, I need help. You know, I need help.
Right.
That's what it is. They're asking for help. So please, you know, recognize what's going on and step up. You know, that's all I can say, you know, to the families out there is please step up our kids.
That's
so
right.
I know we still have about, we still have about 14 minutes left, you know, and Sherita, this is your night. You know, so is there some other things that you wanted to get into discussing this? Because there's a lot we can talk about.
Oh, absolutely. No, I thought about, you know, having a discussion about one of the bullying tactics that I just wrote on my blog about. And it's a
mm-hmm.
lot of times bullies will bait you. They will bait you into an altercation, or they will bait you into, you know, looking like a fool in front of everybody. And I just wrote
mm-hmm.
this blog post called Bullies and Gotcha Questions. And they are gotcha questions aren't just asked by reporters in the media. They're asked by bullies too. For example,
right.
you know, if you're a girl bullied in school, you know, your bullies might ask you a question like, oh, does Ella know you slept with her boyfriend? That is a gotcha question because it's a closed-ended question, and it leaves no room for the truth. You know, if you answer yes, she knows you slept with her boyfriend. If you answer no, she doesn't know you slept with her boyfriend. If you refuse to answer at all and ignore them, then they're still implying that you slept with her boyfriend. Whether you did or you did not, you know, doesn't come into it. That's why
mm-hmm.
what makes a question like that a gotcha question.
Mm-hmm.
And bullies are notorious for that. And they
right.
do it to make you look bad in front of other people. A lot of times bullies will also bait you they will instigate an altercation or an insult, you know, with another person.
Right.
And how they do that, like you're a girl in school being bullied and walking down the hall and there's a group of guys standing around and one of the guys said, hey, they call out to you and they say, hey, John over here, he's madly in love with you. He wants to date you. And then John's like, heck no, I don't want to date that ugly thing. That's instigation right there, bullying by instigation. They try to instigate someone else into insulting you. And they're
mm-hmm.
hoping that you'll bite back. But bullies are real slick. They're very inventive. And you
mm-hmm.
really have to know how to counter against that. That happened
right.
to me one time in the seventh grade. Basically, one guy told me in front of another guy that his friend had a crush on me, yada, yada, yada. And that's when I told him, I was like, I could never be that desperate, and you can never be that lucky. And
mm-hmm.
after that, they left me alone.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I can, I want to read y'all something that I pulled up. And I think, Darlene, I don't know, y'all might be aware of this. It's Darkness to Light, you know,
yes.
what it is. You know that. So, you know, sexual bullying, okay? And let's talk about this a little bit. Occurs anytime a child uses fear, okay, coercion, or force to engage in any sexual behavior, including touching another's genitalia, okay, mimicking intercourse, or body exposure, part exposure, basically, okay? And it says also, sexual bullying is a form of child sex abuse. In fact, 40% of child sex abusers, okay, are youths who are older or more powerful than their victims, and pre-teenaged children are the most likely, okay, most likely to sexually abuse. So they're talking, you know, pre-teenage kids here. And how it happens, it says sexual bullying can happen both one-on-one or in a group setting. Okay, so I don't know about that, but it could be carried out to a person's face, behind their back, or through the use of technology. So that's when they come in with cyberbullying. Okay, can involve sexual aggression, including threats, humiliation, which is a lot in this day and age. I mean, can you imagine being humiliated on, you know, the web, where all your friends see you as a certain person, but now you're being humiliated? A sharing of any appropriate images or photos. I mean, cyberbullying can happen at any time and has no geographic boundaries. So one basic example is in the recent hashtag Jada pose. Okay, indecent photos were of an unconscious teen. Okay, unconscious teen spawned a viral meme on Twitter, is what it says. So, you know, there's a lot right there. A lot of percentages are pretty deadly when it comes down to who is the bully and what happens, and when it comes down to child sex abuse.
Right. Absolutely. And you said that they took images of her, took pictures of her in an indecent way when she was unconscious. Did they get her drunk? Did they knock her out?
Right. I don't know about any of that. It doesn't really say, but the fact she was unconscious. So who knows? I mean, it probably was. You know, if I was to guess that there could have been alcohol or drugs involved with that, you know, but, you know,
I mean, they might have spiked her coke or.
Exactly. You know, but I can,
they
I
might
can
have
tell
drugged
you this
her.
Is that some of the stats that I'm seeing says it says sexual bullying happens to both boys and girls, and it can involve them as young as 5 or 6 years old. I mean, that's on a, you know, scale of a nation, but I'm sure it's even younger than that. You know, starting out at 5 or 6. So, I mean, you know, how many cases are actually reported? That's another thing. You know, I mean, you think about it.
That's
If it's happening inside the house, like, you know, Darlene, you know, there's going to be so many years go by before something gets reported because she thought that was the way of life. She grew up in that from the time that she was a baby. I mean, come on. You know, so how, you can't even put statistics on that, really, because, I mean, she doesn't know any better.
See, and I thought nobody cared because they even went to a church, you know, and talked to the youth, the person over the youth thing, you know. And he told me I need to be like Job, and I was like, but I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, Darlene,
I am so sorry you endured that.
I want to ask you one question, Darlene, is that, you know, you have come such a long way in being an advocate and a supporter, you know, and you know, the support work that you do, and I know about it, is that, you know, you are actually paving the road for a lot of victims that have walked in those shoes, you know. And I do want to commend you for that. a lot. You know, so while you're
too.
On the show, while you're on the show, can you tell some people out there about your support work and what you do during the week and how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, I'm at Facebook, Darlene J. Clark. I
okay.
am an advocate, you know, I'm an ASCA ambassador for Tennessee. I'm also
okay.
One of the people over helping facilitate the ASCA Zoom support group meetings.
Okay.
In which they're held on Sundays, 2 Eastern, Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 2 Eastern. And,
okay, so this is during the daytime, huh? During the daytime at 2 Eastern?
Yes.
Okay.
And so there's one guy that does it on, you know, there's 3 different people that do it the separate days, you know, usually, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, but we're there as trusted servants, you know, to help facilitate. We're not there to give our opinion or for, you know, to be a therapist or anything, but we're there so that people could get their feelings and emotions out there about how their day is and then what they're going through and they can vent, you know.
Okay. Well, that's totally
and then
awesome.
I also have a blog talk radio program. It's called For Tears of Triumph, and which I
oh,
usually
yeah?
do that
okay.
on Wednesdays. So,
on Wednesdays? Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing. It's great. You know, you know, we'll be sure to put this scan, you know, number 2967 out there. I'll put it everywhere so everybody knows about the show. I'll put a really good headline on there to let everyone know what we discussed tonight. Well, we talked about a lot of good stuff, didn't we? And really, we're only touching on the surface of a lot of things that really need to be talked about when it comes down to bullying, because, you know, a lot of our society these days seem to be, you know, really triggered on the situation that's happened to a lot of these individuals that are, you know, shooting up schools and, you know, promoting a lot of this really bad, negative stuff that could have been prevented. You know, just by, you know, having you on tonight, Sheree, you know, I know we have about 2 minutes left. Can you, you know, tell us a little bit about everything that you want to say, just, you know, to get the word out and let people know who you are?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Sheree White. You can also find me on my blog, which is www.shereewhite.wordpress.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm under
okay.
Sheree White. And, it, you know, there's a lot of ways you can get a hold of me online.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to be sure to, you know, make sure that this show gets on there. I'm on LinkedIn also, and, you know, to spread the word. I mean, this is a great educational show. I've been very well informed about a lot of situations, and we still have to talk about a lot of things. You know, there's always going to be another night here, but I can't thank you enough for being here, and also Darlene and also Annie. For being here too as a co-host. I know she's been a little silent there, but we had a lot to talk about. So thank you so much. But everyone,
you're very welcome.
A really good night. And thank you all for being here, okay?
Thanks.
You're very welcome, John. We're glad to be here.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was-